Hey, everybody, this is Pierre Quinn, and you're listening to the Leading While Green podcast, where my mission is to help you live, learn, and lead with confidence. On this episode of the podcast, episode number 40, I have a chance to have a conversation with Andy Malinsky. Andy is a professor at the Brandeis University International Business School with a joint appointment in psychology with a PhD in organizational behavior, and he talks about how to live life outside of our comfort zone. Got some great insights on this episode of the podcast, so listen up. Before we jump into the interview today with Andy Malinsky, I just want to give a shout out to everybody who supports this podcast. I want to thank you for listening right now because that makes a difference. And I want to thank each and every one of you who have left a review on iTunes, who've shared this on social media, who you've texted or sent an email with links to episodes and told people to check it out. It makes a huge difference. If you haven't, I want you to press pause right now, head over to iTunes, leave a 5-star review and some comments, and let people know about this podcast and how it can make a difference in their lives. I want to give a special shout out to one of my recent reviewers, Loon War, who says this is a 5-star podcast. This is what he says. He says, Pierre has a unique perspective on leadership, and I've experienced his training with my organization as well. After listening, you will always leave with nuggets to add in your journey with leadership. It is a must listen for those looking to take their leadership to the next level. Thanks for the plug, Loon War. And thank you, because I know today you're going to leave that review on iTunes. Well, without any further ado, here's my conversation with Andy Malinsky. Hey, everybody, this is Pierre Quinn, and you're listening to another episode of the Leading While Green podcast, where my mission is to help you live, learn, and lead with confidence. I'm really excited about this episode of the podcast because I have a chance to sit down with Andy Malinsky. Andy, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on.
So just to give you some quick insight about Andy, I'm going to read his bio, and then we're just going to take a deep dive into his life. Andy Malinsky is a professor at Brandeis University's International Business School with a joint appointment in the Department of Psychology, PhD in Organizational Behavior, MA in Psychology from Harvard. He has a master's degree in International Affairs from Columbia, a BA in International Affairs from Brown, and his work helps people develop the insights and courage necessary to act outside their personal and cultural comfort zones. I mean, you name it, he's written, he's been featured, Harvard Business Review, Inc. Magazine, Psychology Today, Financial Times, New York Times, Wall Street Journal. His work has been viewed and studied around the world, and some major companies talk to Andy about making their stuff work. His new book, Reach, was published with Penguin House in January 2017, and he teaches, consults, and lectures widely to university and corporate audience. And I'm going to take a deep breath after that introduction. And Andy, tell us something that we can't find out from your bio.
Let's see. Well, my house is under construction right now, so if you hear any banging, that's what you're hearing. I think that's something you can't tell from the bio. But I'm happy to be here, and I love talking about these topics. So let's dive right in.
Yeah. So give us a little bit of background into your personal journey. I mean, you got a lot of degrees, a lot of influence, a lot of spaces where people look at you as an expert or as a leader. Kind of give us some backstory about how you got there.
Yeah. It's interesting. When I was in college, I didn't major in any of these topics or study any of these topics really. I came to them from personal experience. So after college, I lived and worked in France, and I became really interested while I was there. Actually, not in the content of what I was doing. It was what we're doing: customer satisfaction surveys for industrial companies in Europe, which I don't know, maybe some listeners are into that. It wasn't my, you know, top interest, but I was so fascinated by the intercultural workplace. I was in France. I was speaking some French, some English. I was, you know, at these cross-cultural, multicultural meetings. I was starting to try to learn to adapt and adjust my behavior across cultures. I just became, it was my first experience being in a real workplace, my first experience living, working, studying, you know, I wasn't studying at the time, but living and working abroad across cultures and, you know, and speaking a different language. And I just became so fascinated by all of it, the you know, the psychology, the work, the communication, the culture. And so I came back to the US after this and I was like, what is this? You know, what's a name I could put to this? And I learned it was organizational behavior, social psychology, cross-cultural interactions. And so I pursued a PhD in this area. I just thought it was so fascinating. I wanted to dive deeper. And from there, you know, I've transitioned. I've pursued an academic career. So I'm a professor. But also, you know, as I've gotten more advanced in my career, I've really expanded out. And I've written some popular books that you referenced. I write a lot for Harvard Business Review. I do a lot of consulting and keynote speaking and so on. And, you know, so I like to really engage with companies and individuals and coaching too. So I love the idea of being able to study something and really understand it, but not just stop there, you know, mm-hmm. really try to impact people's lives.
So I'm going to dial back just a little bit. Where were you born and raised?
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was born in Boston. Mm-hmm. So I guess another thing that you would know from my bio is that I'm a fanatic Boston sports fan.
Okay.
I do listen to a lot of podcasts, but you know, all sorts of podcasts, news, business, and so on. But I also have, I subscribe to 7 New England Patriots focused podcasts. So I'm a little crazy.
Those of you who are listening who are not Boston fans, please don't hold it against Andy. Yeah. He's a pretty good guy. He's just got some things we're trying to work through. Okay.
And hey, I was just born there, right? You know, what can you do?
So, well, you talked about your work that helps people step out of their cultural comfort zones. What was it like for you, born and raised in Boston and then going to France? How did you navigate the totally different space of a new culture?
Yeah, so it's interesting. The first time I went abroad wasn't France. It was Spain, actually. So this is my junior year of college. Now, this is like, you know, I'm kind of old. This is pre-internet. Like, you know, this is pre-internet. I didn't have a good sense of what, you know how now you can like sort of Google image anything pretty much, and you mm-hmm. can get a sense of even the neighborhood that you might be living in Spain or something like that, or use. So, you know, there was none of that, you know? I had never been abroad. My family, I was from Boston, you know, I just sort of, we didn't travel abroad a lot or anything like that. So I'd never been abroad. And so I remember getting on that plane, going to Madrid. I was terrified. Like it was like going into like this deep, dark place. I had no idea where I was going. It was absolutely jumping off a cliff to me. That's how it felt. I just had no idea what to expect. And it was, but when I got there, it was a bit overwhelming, but pretty soon thereafter, it was just like fascinating. And I was just like, I couldn't believe like there was this whole other world where like they were doing stuff. They were living their lives, but like in a totally different culture and different language. At some core level, it just fascinated me. That inspired me then to go to France. So I wanted a very different experience. The challenge in Spain, I have to say, is that it was hard for me to meet Spanish people from Madrid at the time. This is like 25 years ago. But then when I went to France, I really made it a point to connect with locals, to really build relationships and connections, and to really sort of dive in. And so that's what that experience was like. And, you know, both of them were transformational really for me. And so it really kicked off my whole career in these areas.
So you write and you talk about culture and change and helping people push some of their personal boundaries. Have you always been, or would you consider yourself confident in this area? For you personally, stepping outside of your comfort zone, embracing other cultures, learning new things, has it been a challenge for you, or has it been kind of easy sailing?
I think part yes, part no. The embracing other cultures has always felt very natural to me. You know, that I've always been a pretty open person in terms of that. Stepping outside my comfort zone in other situations, like, you know, I don't know, learning to speak in public, to network, to speak up in a meeting, to have the confidence to do that, to, you know, make small talk with people I don't know, and all these sort of like everyday little mini acts of courage. Those are the things that I think I've always struggled with, even as a student in class and college. I was, you know, I'm a professor now. I tell my students I never spoke in class, but by the way, you can't be like me. You have to speak. on those fronts, I've always struggled a lot. In fact, I begin my keynote speeches on stepping outside your comfort zone with a revelation, kind of a confessional, I guess, that, you know what, I'm the guy who wrote this book on stepping outside your comfort zone. I write all about this all over the place in Harvard Business Review and so on. You might consider me an expert, but I'm no expert. I mean, I struggle just like anyone else does, but I sort of feel like the things that you are motivated the most to understand are the things that you yourself struggle with.
So, This is good. So this is graduation season when we're recording this podcast. And when I think about the collegiate environment, part of it seems to be this journey from being uncomfortable, from stepping out of your comfort zone in freshman year to by the time you become a senior, you're really comfortable. You got some confidence. You're kind of showing younger students the ropes. What's really, from your training, expertise, and study, what really is the psychology of a comfort zone? Kind of, how do we develop it?
Yeah. So, and by the way, the other interesting thing there is it's sort of like the cycle plays itself out all through your life. So you're not so confident as a freshman in high school. By the time you're a senior, you know, you're kind of owning the school, but then mm-hmm. as a freshman in college again, yeah. It all starts over. And then the equivalent of going into the working world as a senior, you feel like you've mastered the university. You sort of know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And then you step into the working world and it's like, it can feel like you're like very disorienting. It's a completely different culture, really, the culture of the professional world compared to the culture of a university. Sorry, I lost track of your question. What was the exact question?
That was good. That was a good insight, especially for those who have just graduated and kind of listening to this and thinking, man, I feel weird because it feels like I have to learn all over again. But I was also asking how do our comfort zones develop?
Yeah, I gotcha. So, comfort zone ultimately is really a metaphor, right? Oh, it's okay. Mm-hmm. What it's all about is it's about anxiety. And in your comfort, in something that you might call your comfort zone, it basically means you experience very little anxiety. It's something mm-hmm. It's easy for you to do. You're confident at it, right? In fact, actually, sometimes I have people do this. People listening can try to do this too. If you think of three buckets, one bucket is what you might call your comfort zone, low levels of anxiety. You know, it's sort of easy street, you know, your sweet spot, whatever it might be in whatever tasks or situations you find yourself in. Think of a second bucket called your stretch zone. These are things where the anxiety is a little higher, right? It's not debilitating anxiety as it might be in the third bucket, which is your panic zone. But the stretch zone is something that, you know, with some effort, with some motivation, maybe with some tools, like the stuff I talk about in my work, in my book Reach and elsewhere, like ways to like actually learn to step outside your comfort zone, you might be able to make that stretch. So you got your comfort zone, your stretch zone, and your panic zone. And what I think is interesting is like you can take situations that you face in your life, I don't know, like participating in a meeting, pitching your business, networking, speaking in public, name any situation really. And you can kind of put it for you at this point in time, you know, 2018, this month, whenever it is, you know, put that situation in one of those buckets for you. Now, that situation might have been in a different bucket 2 years ago. It might be in a different bucket 2 years from now, but that's where you are right now. And so that's what I mean by comfort zone in a sense. It's about sort of the absence of anxiety, but also in relation to these other types of, you know, quote unquote zones, you know, the panic and the stretch.
In some of your writing, and part of your core message is this suggestion, especially in the book Reach, is you suggest that if I'm not outside my comfort zone, there's probably a slim chance that I'm going to learn anything new. Unpack that for us a little bit.
Yeah. So, you know, So a couple of things about that. The first thing is that I don't want people listening to think, oh my gosh, I have to like step outside my comfort zone in every situation, you know, all the time, you know, yeah. Like, you know, that's actually probably not going to serve you well unless you're like a total adrenaline junkie or something. You know, you want to pick your spots, right? But so that's the first thing, because it's actually quite useful and good to be in your comfort zone at certain situations and to have a mix of things, you know. You feel comfort zone in certain areas, but there's some areas that you're going to kind of work on right now, and those might be your stretch areas. The reason that you're not learning anything in your comfort zone is that you're not sort of nudging or forcing yourself to encounter new experiences. You probably have a set mindset of what you're capable of. And I can't tell you how many people I've worked with who get up the courage to step outside their comfort zone, do something that's hard for them, whether it's through the coaching programs I do or just even feedback from my book or whatever it is. And they tell me, and I have this in my book as well, when they actually can apply some of the tools that I suggest and so on, they can learn. And what they learn is they learn something about themselves, and they learn oftentimes that what they thought was impossible for them isn't as hard as they thought it was, and that they're a little bit more capable than they thought they were. So it's like, this isn't as hard as I thought it was, or it could be or, I'm actually better at this than I thought I was. And when you can learn those things about yourself, and you can't do that abstractly, you have to do that from experience. And when you actually can have that like authentic, you know, realization about those things and about yourself, that's like true growth. Because what happens is there, you're probably more likely to try it again, right? Mm-hmm. As opposed to avoid it. And we often get in these avoidance spirals where something is scary or uncomfortable or outside our comfort zones. So we avoid it. We're really good at avoiding things. But that just makes it harder and harder to do. If you avoid it, you get the temporary relief, but it's kind of taboo and you avoid it. And so the point about actually nudging yourself to try something is you can discover that it's not as hard as you thought it was. You're more capable than you thought you were. And that kicks you into a positive spiral of trying it, learning, developing, building that resilience muscle.
Part of the journey you suggest in even getting to that spot is the need to be honest with yourself. And I had an experience maybe about 4 years ago. I was living in a small town in Kentucky, and this consulting firm invited me to join them. And I came up with all of these reasons why I couldn't do it. I didn't have the time, all of my other responsibilities. But at the end of the day, maybe I'm just coming down to admitting this years later. But at the end of the day, it really just came down to I was scared. I was scared to join this consulting group. I hadn't done consulting before, and I was just kind of nervous. But it took me to finally be honest with myself. What's the challenge with most of us when we face something difficult? What's so hard about being honest with yourself and about saying you're afraid or saying you're uncertain about how things are going to turn out?
I think we catastrophize a lot. I think we think of the worst possible case scenario, and then we apply a very high likelihood to it almost. You know, like you know, this is going to be a disaster. And by the way, there's a 99% chance it's going to be a disaster, and I'll never be able to handle this. I think we underestimate our resilience too. Like if you think about your own life, like, you know, you or anyone else listening here, you've done hard stuff outside your comfort zone before. I guarantee it. You know, but we were talking earlier before the podcast, both of us have kids, you know, going from like crawling to walking, major accomplishment.
Absolutely.
Going from elementary school to middle school and surviving middle school and going to high school. And if you've gone to college, like moving from high school, if you've gone to college and going to college, how about living alone for the first time? How about starting a job? Like actually moving, making that transition from college to the professional world. How about speaking up for the first time at a professional meeting? You know, like, I mean, we could name, you know, 100 of these things. And I think oftentimes, like our sense of confidence in ourselves can be like Teflon. It sort of like slips off, and you sort of underestimate and forget the fact that you've been there before. You know what I mean? And so I think that that's a really important message that I instill in people when I'm trying to help them learn to, you know, face something that they might be scared of, but you know what? It could just be seen as yet another challenge, and you've kind of been there before.
Okay, I think this is very helpful for the recent graduates, the people who in a couple of months are going to be starting jobs. This idea of there are parts of this thing that are actually familiar to you. What would your advice be for if I'm going into, I'm leaving the college world, university world, going into the work environment? How can I find the areas that are familiar that I could gravitate to while I'm still trying to wade through the things that are maybe fearful or uncertain about this new world of work?
I think that's actually a great way to think about it, to realize that in this sort of uncertain world of work, there are going to be elements in there that do feel familiar or like one tick away from being familiar. You know what I mean? Like you need to be able to connect, like if you feel uncomfortable, connecting with people in an organization across all ages and experience levels and a lot of diverse people in an organization that you need to be able to kind of connect with and network with. And you might think to yourself, oh my God, I never did that before. But the reality is that you probably have at university. Maybe not. It's possible you might have sat in the back of the class and never talked to a professor before, but I'll bet there are moments and examples of you having done that. If you can think about it's almost like there's usually some form of an analog to every situation that you're encountering in the working world that you've kind of done before, not maybe at that level of professional, competence, but at some level. And so in some ways you are building and scaffolding up. There are going to be things that are challenging. That's where mentors come into play. That's where models come into play. And there's a difference between a model and a mentor. A model is someone that you observe and you learn from, ideally from multiple people, and then you sort of craft your own version of what fits for you. And then a mentor is someone that you might, get advice from, who's kind of been there before. And both of those, I think, are important. But I think armed with some idea of mentoring or where you might be able to find a mentor, with keeping your eyes open to different models, realizing that you've kind of actually been there before more than you think, if you feel like an imposter or if you feel like a poser, you know what? Join the club. Pretty much everyone does,
I was having a conversation with Lolly Dasko a couple of weeks ago, and she just talked about in her consulting work that 99.5% of the C-suite executives that she works with deal with that imposter syndrome. And feel like one day someone's going to walk into the office and they're going to be found out.
That's right.
So let's go back in time a little bit. If you had to give some advice to the version of Andy that first got his degree from Brown, or when you got your first graduate degree, if you could go back in time to, based on your experience now, if you had to go back, if you had a time machine, it can go back and say, hey, okay, Andy, life is going to be like this, and I really need you to pay attention or shore up or get some training or help in this area so that you can get ready for the next section of life. What advice would you go back and give to yourself?
I think it would be to try to develop more of a learning orientation, an experimental orientation towards life. I think at the time I was very oriented towards performance and getting quote unquote literally good grades in college, but then afterwards about performance and achievement, which is good. There's nothing wrong with performance and achievement, but I think a steady, healthy dose of kind of a learning orientation. And what I mean by that is trying things that are outside your comfort zone, or at least are that aren't familiar with you, because that enables you maybe to locate more quickly and more deeply what facet of the professional world you actually find the most compelling, right? If you're just trying to achieve, to get A's, quote unquote, from college, as many people are when they, high achievers are when they enter the professional world, you might sort of lose focus on what authentically interests you and fascinates you. Because that, if you can find that and locate that at any level, at any age, that's like the key to building, I think, a successful career, because that's where you're going to put your passion into, your motivation, and be at your best self. So I think that's what I would probably tell myself.
Had a great conversation today with Andy Malinsky, professor at Brandeis University International Business School. I mean, he's got a lot going on including this construction destruction that's happening in his house right now. Andy, we thank you for taking the time to talk to us. We know that your insights have been valuable to our audience.
Well, thank you so much. I love connecting with people just like your audience. So please, you know, reach out to me. I have a website. It's www.andymalinsky.com. I got tons of articles and videos and, you know, cheat sheets and self-assessments and all sorts of stuff. So please visit and connect on social media and so on. I'd love to hear from folks.
We will definitely put Andy's information in the show notes so you can reach out to him. He's got some good stuff, tons of articles and insights that you're going to need as you continue to live, learn, and lead with confidence. That's all we got for my conversation with Andy. Take care. Now, I know what some of you are probably thinking. Why didn't you just reschedule that interview with Andy? He had a lot going on. He had the construction of his house. We heard the hammering in the background. Why didn't you just set it up for a different time? But for me, I said, listen, you have an opportunity to sit down and have a conversation with one of the greatest minds and biggest influencers in this field of leadership and on the topic of comfort zones. Take advantage. And if you got to endure a little construction in the background to have a quality, maybe once in a lifetime conversation, just go ahead and do it. And I'm very appreciative to Andy for having that conversation in the midst of the construction going on at his house. Now, as it relates to you, how do you work in and out of your comfort zones? I know there are probably some parts of my conversation with Andy today that really resonated with you or maybe touched a soft spot for you. As you take a moment for self-reflection as a leader, where are the areas of your life that you're not allowing yourself to grow, you're not allowing yourself to change, you're not allowing yourself to make a bigger difference because you refuse for whatever reason, and you may even consider it to be a good reason, for whatever reason, you're not willing to step outside of your comfort zone. And what are you missing out on because you won't step out of your comfort zone? And how can you begin to take steps to learn more, to challenge yourself more, and to discover new things? Okay, it's graduation season. Tons of people graduating. This is the time. May and June is tassel turning. It's balloon releasing. It's going to hang out for those graduation dinners. It's that season. And I want to challenge my graduates, high school graduates, college graduates, graduating from grad school or trade school or whatever program that you graduated from. I want to challenge you not to blow off your entire summer. I remember graduating from high school. I remember graduating from college, and there was a part of me that just blew off the entire summer because I was tired. And I know you don't want to type another paper. You don't want to sit in another class. You don't want to have to do another assignment. You just need to rest. You just need a break. You just need 2 or 3 weeks of sleeping and doing nothing and binge watching Netflix. Okay, it sounds good, but it might not be the best for you. So I want to challenge you to rest differently. And what I mean by that, don't just blow off the summer. Don't just sit around all summer and do nothing. And then by August or September, try to figure out what's my next move or where can I find a job or where I'm going to shift to next. Nope. Just rest differently. How can you have conversations that matter? Maybe it's some lunch dates or some dinner dates or some breakfast conversations with people who can help give you some insight on your career, because this is the rest of your life. So don't blow off the entire summer. Rest differently. And while you're resting, hop over to iTunes and leave me that 5-star review, because you know I'm on a mission to help people like you live, learn, and lead with confidence. That's all I got for this episode. So until next time, take care and God bless.